and there's all kinds of distractions. No doubt even the sons and the daughters of Israel have those distractions as well. And yet, this is what the Lord puts before us. And now, jumping down in chapter 6 to verse 20. When your son asks you, in time to come, saying, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean, which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all of his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us. And now in chapter 7, just jumping down to verse 9, where Moses continues, know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments, but repays those who hate him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. And now in Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. And then at the end of Psalm 128, verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. As we continue our study of the family, we're going to take a couple of weeks moving from the core of the family, which is the marriage of one man, one woman, before God, for life, and talk about another key component within most family units. Children are not required in a family, and the Lord is not always blessed all couples with children, and Yet, it is the norm that we talk about here. Just as the norm is for men and women to marry, so the norm for humankind is for those marriages to produce children, to perpetuate the race from generation to generation, as well as to bear the word of the Lord from generation to generation, as believers have children. I don't profess to be an expert. I think as we come to this, I'm going to totally identify with our children. Perhaps some of you, as you get older, that, okay, here we go again. Honor thy father and thy mother. Exodus chapter 20. Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Got it. Okay, well, I'm hoping that that's not the end result of what we're going to talk about today. The Bible has lots to say to all of us and to children. One of the interesting things, though, is that the Bible doesn't have first and second sons and daughters, and There's no definitive how-to. When I was a kid, you could go to the drugstore and they'd have these how-to books that would teach you young people about all kinds of different things, how to be a biologist, how to... we've replaced that now with the idiot's guide to this, that, and the other thing. You can go to the Google for books on raising children, and you will get all kinds of books, and there will be lots more written than what is in the Word of Scripture. And quite frankly, in the Bible, we don't have a step-by-step guide to raising children. And yet, what we have in the Bible is the history of all of God's people that are recorded there in real life, and the Lord gives us in the Scripture the truths that He wants us to know, the teachings that He wants us to follow, and He gives us real life examples of what to do, but seems more often than not what not to do. Even the psalmist David, who gives us many of the psalms that speak about life before God. His family was a mess. And his children, you want to talk about sibling rivalries. If we bring that up, we'll probably end up talking about Adonijah and Absalom and Solomon and others. Who comes to mind when I say sibling rivalries to you? Cain and Abel? Yeah, a little bit. Jacob and Esau? We have stories, real life stories about these things that hopefully will help to instruct us. And so we're going to look at some of those things today. There's no particular book of the Bible that tells children and parents all of the things A, B, C that we want to know, and yet the Bible does give us, in its real life context, a lot of helpful information, and hopefully I will be able to share some of that with you this morning. So children, it's your turn today, and the sermon is molded around three questions. Two are for you, one is for your parents. And so we said, children, who are you anyway? What does the Scripture say? Well, first of all, we've been talking and you've been listening as we've looked at marriage about the two shall become one flesh. And Pastor Wilsey has over the years ad nauseum, which is a phrase that sometimes we use, talked about what that means, the lifelong companionship of a man and a woman that the Lord has brought together. But also talked about the two becoming one flesh in a marriage are factually occurring in children. Children are, we hope, the best of both mom and dad and one new person that mom and dad have brought into being through the intimacies of marriage and the beginning of children. We're talking genetically at that point. That explains a lot. I mentioned to someone, I can't remember who, yesterday, that some of you might remember Dick's son, David. He visited a number of years ago with some of his family. David is a Dick Muller in miniature. I mean, you might see some pictures, but the problem is, of the three children, David is the one who is the most like Susan Muller, and that was brought out as well. And we need to pray for David. Dick asked that we would do that because he's concerned that because he was so much like his mom that he's going to go back home to Alaska and he's going to struggle more than perhaps the other children might without his mom. So we can do that. But you may have wanted your mother's nose and got your father's, or vice versa. Deal with it. Because we are, as children, our moms and our dads in one flesh. We are going to, like it or not, reflect that all the days of our life. I think I am the, when it comes to Aurora, a granddaughter of Rhea here in our congregation, I think I'm the only one that thinks that she looks like Rochelle. I said that to people, they look at me like, what is the matter with you? So I looked again and said, oh, well, maybe, okay. But we're going to look like our parents. We're going to act like our parents, which is a terrible thing to think about as I reflect. One of the things as a child, a young person, the older I got, the more I saw all of the blemishes on my mom and dad and said, I'm never going to do it that way. I'm never going to do it that way. And here I am, able to testify in all the different ways that Barbara and I raised our kids in a lot of ways, just as our parents raised us. But children, we are, for better or for worse, in our own opinion, we are the two-in-one flesh of our parents. And that's a bond, a biological bond that sticks and draws us together. It was a wonderful thing to see Dick have all three of his children there with him to support him, even though they all have different lives and different situations and circumstances. Children, who are you? You are secondly the fruit of the womb. You are the Lord's good gift to your parents. It's sad we live in an age when oftentimes the testimony we hear from people is, well, if I had it to do all over again, I never would have had children. And we talk about double income, no kids kind of families, and so many that have, and isn't it true, though, of fallen man, that what God says is a blessing, sinful man views it as anything but. And children are a blessing of the Lord. Think of Sarah and Rachel and Hannah and Elizabeth in the scripture, and there are others. And he the childless woman takes and a joyful mother makes, we sing when we sing Psalm 113. The Psalms 127 and 128 remind us that our children are a blessing, and they are a blessing that we are to take seriously and to handle delicately and carefully and reverently as we raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Thirdly, children are, like their parents, human beings, created in God's image and fearfully and wonderfully made. The 139th Psalm reminds us of that. We'll sing a little bit of that at the end of our service today, that you're special. And God tells you that you are special. Jesus, the two passages that we read about children, Jesus understood that as well. And, isn't it just like adults to say, go over, be quiet, children. We're busy over here with Jesus. And Jesus says, wait a minute. Don't do that. Let the children come to me. You are under God's providential care and concern. That's, if you read those verses in Psalm 139, that's what it goes on to say. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And not only that, but before I was ever even born, God had ordained the days of my life for me. Individually, every single one of you, God has ordained the days of your life for you. You're worth His time to do that, and His concern. And children are special in God's sight, being part of humankind. And we sang Psalm 8 because it reminds us, what is man in comparison with a holy and infinite God? And the point is, man is, next to God alone, the most significant being in the universe, made in the image of God, unlike anything else. And God has great concern for those that are created in His image. In fact, and you may think it's a little backward, but we've turned it backward. If you go to Genesis chapter 9, where we have a verse that deals with the idea of capital punishment, God so is concerned about each one of us as individuals that if anybody harms us, they are to answer to Him. Fourthly, children, you are like your parents, sinners in need of a Savior. You came into this world. Caroline, I'm sorry to tell you this. I don't know how well there you are with Grandma. I'm not sure you're paying attention. That's a good thing. You have the sin of Adam, as did we all. Every child is conceived and born with it. It's often called original sin, and within Christian churches, that has been dealt with in different ways. But it is that sinful nature that we have because of the fall of Adam into sin that we need to deal with. But lest you blame Adam, understand that each one of you children, and I'm with you in this, are no better than Adam. How often do people think, well, if I was an Adam, I would have never eaten that apple, that fruit of that tree. We don't know if it was an apple, but that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I would have never done that. Well, yeah, you would have. And not only that, that right now, all of us do all kinds of things that are against God's word. And even when we come to faith, we still struggle with that. And we will until the Lord takes us out of this life, as he has with Susan, and brings us home. So you are sinners, children, and not only because you were born that way, which you can say I had nothing to do with, but because from the time you were born, you have just demonstrated over and over again that you are sinners in the way that you have lived your lives, the selfishness that belongs to all of us, the self-centeredness, the mind, I want, me. Usually about the time that our children get to be teenagers, we're kind of tired of that, but it still seems to be there. And Psalm 51 reminds us that we sang that we were conceived in sin. We were sinners even when in our mother's womb. And when we come out of that womb, it doesn't take long before we demonstrate that life centers around us rather than around God. And that's who you are. And welcome to the boat of humanity. Welcome to that which characterized your parents before you and will characterize your children after you until the Lord comes again. Well, as we put together the various verses that we read this morning, second question is for parents, and what is God saying to you about your children before we talk to the children about what is God saying to you? Deuteronomy 6 and 7 really has a logic and a flow to it. I read portions of it to try to capture some of that, but the first thing that we as parents need to remember if we are to raise our children is that it has to start with us first. And so in Deuteronomy 6, the call is to fathers to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's the only lasting starting place, is to be a believer, be in Christ, be committed to the Word of God as your guidebook for your children, for your marriage, for your work, for all of the affairs of your life. Secondly, what God is telling you is to teach your children to love God and obey Him. The very things that God is calling you to do, you need to teach your children to do as well. It's in verses 7 through 9 of chapter 6. Thirdly, when we jumped over to chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, a passage which the longer I live, the more blessed it becomes to me. You need to claim the promises of God for your children. What he said is that if you will obey him and you will do these things, that his loving kindness will last to 1,000 generations to those who are walking in his ways. But if you don't, then don't expect any of the claiming of those promises to take root. Understand that your children are a gift that the Lord has entrusted to you, and claim the promises that he's made as you raise your children and as you love your children and as you lead your children. Fourthly, think of your children as Jesus does, because oftentimes, and I'm the first among sinners in this area, it's so easy to be quiet, go over there, find something to do. That's not to say that we don't need to do that to raise our children properly, but sometimes we don't seem to make the time that we need to make for them. If there's anybody that was really busy, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody perceived that. He's healing, he's teaching, he's helping. And this child comes along and he's too busy for you. Let's that not be the case for us when it comes to our children. There are two important lessons in these passages in which children become a instruction for us as parents and as adults. The first one in what Jesus says is about the nature of faith and works, that you cannot by your own efforts enter the kingdom of God. How do you enter the kingdom of God? Well, learn from your children. What is it about your children that you need to have as a Christian? Your children trust their parents with their very lives. Childlike faith, a childlike trust. And unless you have that kind of faith and trust in God rather than in your own works, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, he said in two different ways, you've got to become like little children if you were to enter the kingdom of God. What is he saying? You've got to stop thinking you can do it, and you've got to put the trust in the only one who can do it, who is your heavenly Father and your elder brother, Jesus Christ. And then secondly, it talks about humility. In one of those passages, the first one that was read in Matthew 18, what were the adults arguing about? Something really wholesome. You know, essentially, who's more important in the kingdom of heaven? And what does Jesus do? He brings a child and says, if you really want to be pleasing God and being grown up about being one of his children, then you need to become like this child. You need to have lives of humility rather than of arrogance. Lives of that childlike faith and trust in God. And if you're like that, then you will be first in the kingdom of heaven. So we need to think of our children as Jesus does, which leads us to need to think about ourselves as well, and whether we are good, faithful, and trusting children, even as adults of our Heavenly Father. And of course, then we come to Ephesians chapter 6, but we won't start with verse 1, but we'll go to verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but what? But bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's not a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to sink in, but in reality, the fear and admonition of the Lord is a way of love, and it's a way of grace, and it's a way of peace. And also in Colossians, in a parallel passage, the Apostle Paul says, do not exasperate your children, lest they lose heart. You need to show them the love of Christ, the gentleness of Christ, the firmness of Christ, and all of those other things to raise up a son and a daughter who will have their lives together, will understand from the examples of their parents and of those around them God's way of doing these things. Next, do not hide the treasures of the gospel from them. Psalm 78, we will not hide these things from our sons, but we will declare them. The calling of Psalm 22 to the same end. We need to make sure that we keep the gospel of Christ forefront before our children all the time. And to summarize, and I had to stop because if I'd known that my printer was running out of ink, I may have been able to save some in number H there. But what is God saying to you about your children? Love them. Pray for them. When does that end? It never ends. provide for them, sacrifice for them, train them, teach them, protect them, nurture them, talk with them. What a novel idea. And children, be ready to talk with your parents, because one of the common things I see is often mom and dad want to sit down and talk and they want to know what's going on, but you're too busy. There's a song by Harry Chapin that came out years ago. He died young, but I think it's called The Cats in the Cradle, but it's a song that everybody ought to look at, both as parents and as children. It's a story of a father who was so busy with his work life and other things that he never had time for his son. And all along his son was ready and waiting, "I want to be like you, Dad." And then at the end of his life, when he was retired and had time, all of a sudden his son didn't have time for him. And the testimony was, "My son became just like me." That's the way it works unless the Lord intervenes with these things. Spend time with them and don't think quality voids quantity. I've heard too many fathers say, "Well, I don't get a lot of time, but my time is quality time," and I've learned to respond, "That's a bunch of baloney." We need both. Work with them and play with them, discipline them, prepare them, test them, trust them to the extent that they are trustworthy. That's a hard thing to do. That was one of the things that we determined to do, that we would trust our sons as long as our sons proved themselves to be worthy of that trust. Let them grow and then let them go so that they can do the same for their children when it is their time to do that. That's what the parent-child relationship is all about within the kingdom of God. We are constantly passing the baton from generation to generation of those who love and serve the Lord. And each generation looks to the Lord for instruction. And I would just testify personally that before I was married, I began to pray for that the Lord would allow me to see my children's children. And he has been faithful to that. And now I trust and pray that it is my son's prayer as well that the Lord will allow them to see their children's children. And if you look at that particular phrase, "thy children's children," in the Bible, you'll find there's a lot of verses that talk about that. And they always talk about that in terms of the blessings that belong to the families who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, children, what is God saying to you? Here we go. Honor thy father and thy mother. Got it? Okay. Number two, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Got it? Thirdly, pay attention to your spiritual heritage. The labor that your moms and your dads have expended and the prayers that they have prayed and the tears that they have shed and will shed in days to come and the fears that they will deal with, that when you first go out, after you've learned to drive a car, and finally that becomes one badge of honor, and then the next badge of honor is, "I not only have a license that says I can drive this car, but now I am old enough that I can do it at night." And then you get home later than you're supposed to get home in your car, and your mom is definitely still going to be awake. Your dad may not be, but he probably is, even if he's up in bed. They're not going to be satisfied even when you're driving a car until you're home and you're safe. That's the way that it is. That's the kind of heritage. But they're also not going to be content until you're home and you're safe and then you're in the bosom of Almighty God because you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We said earlier that children are sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is our Savior. And any who are raised within family of faith in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ have a wonderful heritage and a hedge around them set up by God using his people to help care for all of his children. You need to claim the promises of God even as your parents did about you by hearing the gospel and putting your faith and trust, that childlike faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You need to reach a point where you commit to love Jesus and serve him all the days of your life. There was a sad part to Susan's service yesterday. It was a wonderful service. Dick and Susan were very open about their children in the time that we had them, and many of you know that their concern is always been for their oldest daughter, whose name is Grace. I met Grace for the first time yesterday. And here was a service where God was at the center of all. Grace got up to talk. It wasn't that there was anything that she said was bad, but she got up in the midst of all of these testimonies to Dick and Susan's commitment to Christ and their labor for Christ, and she got up and she said, well, I tried to find a poem about my mom, and she read a couple of short poems that just said, my mom was a nice mom, and I loved my mom kind of thing, but it was just so out of track with the heritage of the Mueller family to have one of the sheep within that family, one of the lambs that to this point has not claimed the promises of Christ for her and for her children. And Dick wants us to pray for Grace. He's going to have a week with her now. She's hurting. She doesn't have her mom anymore, even as he is. Don't cause your parents that kind of pain and grief. Hear Jesus. Claim the treasure that the gospel has brought to your household. Love him and serve him all the days of your life. And prepare to be an adult before him, because you're going to be one sooner than you think. You see that educated adult over there with this little girl doing this right now? He's in his 20s. How old were you when we first met you, Jared? Doesn't it seem like just yesterday? And I've been preaching this kind of thing since he was 7 and before, and nothing's changed. The family is a wonderful thing. Well, lots has changed with all of you, but not much has changed in terms of the Lord continues faithfully to build his families, to raise children within those families to his glory and honor, and the call of the gospel will continue. Caroline, you need Jesus. I'll tell you that for a lot of time here until, we'll close. Children are God's good gifts. Children, you belong to Jesus as part of his church. That's the heritage you have, but until you bow down before Jesus and claim it, you will not belong to him for all eternity. So put your faith in him. Prepare to raise up in your time the next generation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our children. Bless them. Keep them. Save them. Protect them. Care for them in every way and use us to that end. Those of us who are parents and those of us who are brothers and sisters within the family of faith. Lord, we just ask you to continue to watch over them. as they grow. In their time, may they assume the place that you have for them in your kingdom. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing from Psalm 139. Selection C.